Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software built to support you and your clients. Switching EHRs isn't something you do on a whim, and to confidently make the switch, you need to feel assured that your data will get imported securely and efficiently. A smooth import makes all the difference, which is why Jane's experienced imports team handles yours with care and at no additional cost. If you do make the decision to switch, they will be there to help every step of the way. I was truly so impressed with the level of support, attention to detail, and customer service Jane's team gave me throughout the process of transitioning my practice to their system. To learn more and explore if Jane might be a fit for you, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo with one of their incredible team members. And when you're ready to get started, use code ASHLEY1MO for 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. I think if we're honest as therapists, there's probably one common thing that many of us struggle with and are nervous about, and that is money. And I don't think that's just unique to therapists. I think all of us, if we're honest, have our own money story, our own money narrative. And we either like to look at it and know what's going on with it, or we kind of bury our head in the sand. And I think a lot of times I've seen therapists when they are going into private practice, or about to start it, the money part is a lot of times what keeps them from doing it because they're like, it just feels too overwhelming. So that's where I think today's conversation with my guest is going to be really, really helpful. So my guest today is Erica Millard. She's a bookkeeper and QuickBook expert who helps business owners get their finances in order, whether they need to set it up, clean it up, or hand it off. She gives her clients confidence and a peace of mind through practical, down-to-earth bookkeeping guidance that makes the numbers feel simple and doable. Erica is also the host of her own podcast, the Get Comfy with Numbers podcast, where she teaches straightforward financial concepts in a friendly and approachable way. Erica, I'm so glad for us to kind of get a chance to talk here today. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk numbers, which I know is probably intimidating to a lot of people.
So tell us a little bit, like, how did you get into this world of bookkeeping and how did that kind of lead into your own podcast then?
Yeah, so I actually have an accounting background. I went to school for accounting. Funny reason, I really wanted to be in the FBI in college, and they were recruiting heavily for financial and white collar crime divisions. And so I was like, I'm going to be the 5'2" girl with a gun. That's going to be me. but that dream was not fulfilled, but that's okay. And so I did corporate accounting for several years. And then when I got pregnant with my oldest, I knew I didn't want to work in corporate accounting because at the time that was really pre-COVID and working from home wasn't really as much of a thing. And I had been working like 60, 70, 80 hours a week sometimes. And I knew I just didn't want that lifestyle. And I had considered starting my own business, but I wasn't really sure if that's what I wanted to do. And kind of through a crazy set of circumstances, I was in Starbucks with a girl that I had babysat, and she had grown up and was interested in accounting. So we were just chatting about different opportunities in accounting. And a man leaned over and said, "I could really use some help. And I don't care if you work from home." And that became my first client.
Interesting.
And
Wow.
so it all just kind of snowballed from there. I had a handful of connections. And so I started out full service bookkeeping for small business and nonprofit. And so I did that for a few years. And then I felt like I actually really have some other giftings that aren't being utilized. So I had considered getting out of bookkeeping altogether. And I was like, well, I don't really know if that's right. So when I just started marketing my services, I had several women come to me and say, "I can't afford a full service bookkeeper right now, but could you just teach me how to use QuickBooks? Or could you just help me not cry in front of my CPA? Or could you just help me understand what these words on this report mean?" And so I started doing more helping people set it up and coaching and cleaning up and training around QuickBooks. And I was like, this is so fun. Like, I could do this all day. And I think not a lot of accountants can teach. A lot of
Yeah.
accountants just like to do the work, which is, to each his own. And so it just felt like all of these pieces were coming together. And so a couple years ago, I felt like, okay, I need to get this message of QuickBooks help and bookkeeping support out to more people. And so a podcast just seemed like the next natural step. I feel like I can talk pretty easily. And so that felt like, okay, that feels less intimidating in this season of life than YouTube. I was kind of looking at my options. And
Yeah.
so I've loved podcasting and just being able to break down things that feel really confusing into simple terms, because I really do believe. I feel like often we hear, like, oh, just leave that to the experts. And there are some difficult accounting concepts, but in general, the everyday person can understand this if you just have the right education.
Which I think is a really interesting point because I think sometimes, at least I see this with other therapists, but I think just like business owners in general, where it's like, well, that just seems too hard. So it's either I'm going to learn about it or I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist or like not go that route. But I think to your point of if you do take the time, whether it is through your own learning, through getting coaching or support, that the things that feel really intimidating, like specifically around your books and your numbers, that you're like, oh, wait a second, I can do this. I think it's like almost like building up confidence to be able to realize like, no, like I can do this thing.
Yeah, and I just hope to bring that because most people that come to me feel like they're the only one. They feel like everybody else in the room understands because they're nodding along and they're the only one that doesn't know this, or like it's a mystical kind of language that only certain people understand. And so that's part of my mission too, is to really help people. Like, you can be in the club that actually understands it, and it doesn't just have to be something only for certain people, or like I said, the everyday person can get to that confidence and empowerment when you look at your numbers.
Now, if I remember correctly, you do actually have a few therapists that you do like some accounting with or you have supported. And I'm curious, like, what are some of the most common mistakes or misunderstanding that you have seen amongst therapists, right? Like, we're talking because this is a podcast that most of us are therapists or like we are heading in that direction. So, like, what are some common either mistakes or misunderstandings that you may see amongst our population when it comes to our books?
Yeah, well, I think for even for all business owners, mixing your personal and your business expenses can still be a struggle. And a lot of people don't know that that can actually mess up your LLC status. If
Oh.
you become an LLC, if you mix your personal and your business too much, then it's called it the legal term is co-mingling the funds. And so they can't quite see what's yours personally and what's the business. And so that can mess up some of that status. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand. And we're not talking about the occasional like time that you accidentally use the wrong card. It's
Right.
more when it's like happening all the time. So that's very, very first step is to separate practice and personal expenses. And then another thing that I see is a struggle is sometimes not knowing, okay, where does HIPAA compliance come in, especially with collecting funds from people. And so I just like to recommend that you keep your client information in your client management system. And then all of that, the deposits from that can come into your QuickBooks or whatever accounting software that you use pretty easily. And so we can keep that separated. And so people have often said, is it okay to bring a bookkeeper in to see the numbers? But typically we don't have to see any of the patient information. So that's where it's helpful for us is we can just see numbers instead of all that patient data. So I think specifically in this industry, that can be another struggle is just like knowing how to set all of the tech and pieces upright so that different people can come in and support you properly.
And I think that's a really good point. Like, I use Jane as my electronic health record. So that has all of my clients' information in it. That's where I receive payments from them. It's also where, like, the insurance, claims are processed. And so when I collect a co-payment or a deductible or just an out-of-pocket, like someone's paying for cash for a session, it's processing through Jane. And if you went into my EHR system, you would see that information, but a bookkeeper wouldn't have to because they would just need my bank account information. And when they're in the bank account, all it says is a deposit from Jane. It doesn't say, Joe Smith paid you X amount of dollars. So, yeah, making sure that you use some kind of system, whether it is within your EHR or something like an Ivy Pay that is not going to just show you the client's information in your bank account, having your account in there. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the HIPAA piece with that for sure.
Yeah, so that's what I, some of those struggles is just, it can be really confusing to know how to set it up and get it all working properly. And then also in general, I see a lot of people get confused around how to categorize things. So, and people get really tripped up about like, is this what the IRS is going to come after me for kind of thing? And usually it's actually not that scary. You can make the, I like to help people make their reports as detailed or not as is helpful for you to manage the business. So I think in a recent episode, you were talking about just knowing your numbers of how much it's going to take to actually start your own practice or continue on or hire other people on your team. And so actually having the data to know, okay, well, what kind of packages are selling the most? And that might not be the right terminology, but whatever type of package or service or how many sessions, however you bundle that together, see if you can break that down so that you can see over time, oh, everybody signs up for six, but nobody signs up for three. Well, then just get rid of three. And then sometimes people will see, well, all I do is market three, but I never market six, but everybody signs up for six. And so that's when the numbers can get really fun and informational is when you can start to see those kind of patterns and then be able to make smart decisions. And so in that example, getting rid of the three package session and only offering six, you can start to see that. So that's where I like to help people and just encourage people to make their reports useful. So if you're spending money on ads or you're spending money on networking or you're spending money on flyers, breaking some of that down so you can start to make those decisions. And that's where it gets to the helpful information. But it is really easy to get hung up on like, is this office supplies and software or is this dues and subscriptions? And sometimes those little details don't really matter. Just like pick one and be consistent. And that's the important part because we can use all of that information to file your taxes. So I like to make categories something that's easy for you to manage the business.
And I've used QuickBooks in the past for my accounting. Only this year I switched to something different. But yeah, like I think we like to overcomplicate it where there'd be times I'm like, oh, what category is this? And realizing like it could be as broad or as specific as I want it to be, that it's not, again, like the IRS police are not going to come and be like, you put a purchase for your printer under, your dues, right? Like it's not like that. But it is for you to be making informed decisions of like, oh, I'm spending X amount of money here versus X amount of money coming in or X amount of money on this other thing.
Yeah, and I think the IRS really mostly wants to know if it was a legitimate business expense. So if you categorize things a little bit wrong, but it was true, a legitimate expense, like you're gonna be okay. It's more, do you have the documentation to
Right.
prove, yeah, this was actually for business and not something personal? So that's more important piece when we're talking about like specific transactions.
So one of the things I have found, and I have personally done this, so like this is not me being like, I have this all figured out. I have made these mistakes, but I've also talked with other therapists where they're in either one of two situations. They're either starting out and they're like, before I really get going, I want to have like all of the foundation laid, right? So like I want to get my business account. I want to figure out what is my accounting system going to be. Or, and this is where I have come across this a lot, and this is where I ended up at one point, I have that commingled mess, right? Where like I started my practice, it was supposed to just be like a little side thing. So I was using my family credit card, or the money was being deposited into my personal checking account. And I've been keeping receipts, but I like haven't really done anything with it. And now I'm, 6 months, a year in, and it feels like too much, so they just kind of keep burying their head. What are some strategies? And these might be two different talking points. So like if you could talk to the person who is at the beginning, who is like, I have not even started taking in any kind of payments. I've not really started paying too much out for a business, but they're like, I want to get stuff set up. And then talk to that other person who's like, it feels like a mess and I don't even know how to undo any of this. Kind of where you would recommend them each kind of going in their path.
Sure. Yeah. So in the setup phase, you want to first just start thinking about what systems do you need and how are they going to talk to each other. So, like we mentioned, the different client management systems. And then, if you're going to use a bookkeeping software or even a spreadsheet in the beginning, I'm fine with that for the beginning seasons of business early on. Just make sure you pick something and you stick with it. And I really recommend try to do it for the full year because sometimes switching in the middle can be kind of difficult and extra work. So choose, kind of do your research on which bookkeeping system is right for you, and then learn how to use it. So actually, if you're going to do it yourself, so learn how to use the system so that it doesn't frustrate you, because the more that you can do correctly from the start, it's actually going to be cheaper than paying for somebody to help you untangle a mess later. So get the foundation set up correctly, and then figure out what kind of routine are you going to actually do the bookkeeping. Again, assuming you're doing it yourself for that early stage, but are you going to look at it every single day, which is kind of a lot, not necessary? Are you going to do it once a week, once a month? But make a date for yourself, even of put a money date or put a finance Friday or something on your calendar so that you have that time. And sometimes my clients have to use like habit stacking principles to actually follow through with that. So sometimes people will go to their favorite coffee shop and reward themselves with a treat while they do their bookkeeping. Or sometimes clients will light a certain candle and kind of make like a ritual around it or something fun that's different for them. And just like you kind of have to hack yourself into doing it for the first little bit until it becomes a habit that's more simple. And if you're starting out, and just do like 20 minutes at a time and just start to see, okay, what questions come up? What do I not understand? What words do I maybe need to learn about? Just all of those small steps towards that foundation can really give a big impact over time. And then if you're someone in that camp where you feel like you've got a mess, just pause and take a breath because you're not alone. And the more that you put it off, though, usually I see the bigger the mountain gets of like you feel like it's just unbearable and you're the only one. And then the shame I see usually gets increases more and more. And often when people come to me, like they're really in better shape than they think. It's just that they've been avoiding it for so long that it's just like become this big
Right. It's this
ordeal.
big mountain that they're afraid
Yeah,
of.
exactly. And sometimes people are even scared to look because they're scared to know how things are actually going.
Yeah.
And that can also be intimidating to see the reality because numbers are just facts. And so it takes all the emotion out of it too. And sometimes that's positive and sometimes that can be discouraging. But it's more important to just kind of face that as soon as you can, as soon as you're hearing this and like ready to take a step. So, if you're in some of the messy phases, first just do your best from here forward to not mix things. So, go open that bank account, like whatever that first step is, go ahead and do that from now on. We can untangle the past mess, but it's easier if you make a change now going forward. So, that would be the first step. And then also to like, make your process for receipts and things like that. If you have to just start from now forward, it's like there's some things that's just, it just is what it is, and we can't worry too much about what's happened or not. We'll like cross that bridge if we get there and hope that you don't get audited, something like that. But like, don't beat yourself up too much is the point that I'm trying to make of just commit to making a new process or a new system or routine from now going forward. And then a lot of times, what I recommend is just set a timer for 10 or 15 minutes and just categorize all your transactions or just find all the receipts that you can or just look through all of the checks and cash that you've gotten and record it. So just do a few simple steps. And again, because that usually helps you kind of face the mountain and feel like you're making a little bit of progress. And often people find that it only takes a little bit of that for them to like get into it, and then they're
Yeah.
not as dreading it as much as they had been. So those are a few just practical things you can do to try to help yourself get out of that situation.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. Now, I know you are like a QuickBook expert, right? Or like you like are well versed in that system. And I know for myself, so I've used QuickBooks for years. There's so many different versions of QuickBooks. And so, like, for those who are either starting out or they're like, I'm looking to change some stuff up, it can feel overwhelming. I know I have felt that and like confused at times of like, well, which QuickBooks do I go with? I have my own like thoughts on that, but I'm curious what your recommendation would be, especially if somebody's like, I'm just a solo provider, but I have this business and I want to get this set up so I have my systems. What version do you typically recommend?
Yeah, I would definitely go with QuickBooks Online versus desktop. They're trying to sunset the desktop version, and you're just, it's a struggle now to find bookkeepers that work in desktop. So I would choose online. And then from there, I usually just start people out in the lowest level. It's currently called Simple Start. So there is a solopreneur version. I don't love that as much because you can't
Yeah.
customize your categories. So the lowest level at this time, it's called Simple Start. It's the cheapest one that also gives you all the reports and the ability to invoice if you wanted to do that in there. And then it also helps you, like I said, customize some of those categories like we talked about so that you can really make it good for management decision making.
Yeah, that was my experience. And I had started off with the I don't know if it's still called it, but like it was the self-employed is what they called it, like QuickBooks self-employed or something. And then when I was like, no, I need to get like a better system down, did not realize that I couldn't get all of the reports that I needed or like wanted to be able to do all the things in the accounting software that I could not do in the self-employed. So switching to QuickBooks Online, like, was it made a big difference of no, I can really have a better picture of what's going on and like understand my numbers so much better and like pull reports or make specific reports that I needed. So yeah, that's definitely been my experience as well. One question I have about that, because I've gotten in the mess myself, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to try something different and it is mid-year. What do you recommend if someone is saying, I'm going to either switch to a different QuickBooks or I'm, leaving this system, going to something different? Is there a time of year you typically recommend or don't recommend for somebody to do that?
Yeah, usually it's early on. If you're still in like Q1, even halfway through the year, it also depends how many transactions you have coming in and out. If you have hundreds and hundreds every month, then you might not want to switch until the beginning of a new year or like early on in the quarter. If you only have a handful and most of them are recurring charges like Google or your softwares and things like that, then that can be a lot simpler to switch over, and you might have to duplicate some of the work. Like, so let's say you entered everything manually in your spreadsheet, and then you're like, I think I want to automate this a little bit better in a software. Then usually that's not too hard to do because some of the automations will kick in and help with some of those pieces. So it does kind of depend on your situation, but early on is usually not too late. But I often don't recommend it if you're in like September, October,
Yeah.
November. Just finish out that task year and then start in fresh in a new year.
Yeah, because it is a lot of work, right? That like it'd be better to just finish off the like 3 months and then start new January 1 versus like now I have to redo everything and finish off the year.
Yeah, because it's really not helpful if you choose to just start in the current month. Like, you really need the whole year of data to help you tell a story and help you even get it ready for tax purposes.
So one question, like I had polled my email subscribers about like what do you want to hear on the podcast? And finances and money was like one of the big things. I know there's certain rules that like I'm not sure if you'll be able to like say certain things depending on your background, but I have a lot of people that are in my list or that are listeners of this show that either one of two situations exists for them. They are a therapist that practices online. So I'll just use myself as an example. Say they live in Virginia, which is where I am, but they also telehealth work with somebody in, say, Florida or in Colorado. And they get confused on like, how am I doing my bookkeeping? Am I paying taxes somewhere else? And then the other question is, so I'm a spouse of somebody in the military, and I know a lot of other therapists who also have an online practice like me, and they either have moved because they've wanted to, or their spouse's job has moved them. And again, like, how do I manage this? So you tell me what you can speak to with any of this. But I know that this is a question that comes up so much of like, how do I navigate this, especially with working online?
Yeah, well, this also might be helpful to know. Sometimes it gets confusing. Like, what does a bookkeeper do? What does a tax person do? What does a CFO do? So often, this would be more in the realm of a CPA giving you advice and help on. It's all about what they call nexus. So if you, it's like the amount of time and income that you bring in from those specific states. All of them have different percentages of whether you qualify or not. There's actually also some pretty cool softwares to check into too that
Oh.
will help. They're kind of just like a add-on to like a an app almost that will add on to some of your invoicing processors. And so it will help calculate some of that too and kind of give you, I've seen some demos where it will give you like some different graphs of like if you're close, because it's all about like, well, how many sales have you had? Like, do you hit a certain threshold? Do you hit a certain percentage? And so it can get really complicated because every state is a little bit different too. So all of the rules change and vary depending on which states we're talking about. So sometimes a tax person can help you with that, and then sometimes specific softwares might also be helpful. So check into some of those different options, and have people and have somebody like that help consult on those types of questions. But typically a tax person is who you're gonna, or a CPA, but sometimes bookkeepers are also CPAs, and that's where it can get really confusing. So usually bookkeepers will help in more like the day-to-day income and expenses coming in and out. And then a tax person will help file all of the tax forms for you, help you sometimes with strategy around what you owe in estimated taxes or tax advantages or not that you can take a part of. And also, I've seen several CPAs and tax professionals help with sales tax and calculating those and getting you set up in all of the particular states for that. And then also, if you then move on and want like even higher level strategy about like budgeting and cash flow and forecasting, that's where a CFO can come in. Sometimes they're a CPA too, and they can help you with more of the higher level like strategy and advanced thinking. So those terms can get so confused because sometimes, like I said, sometimes they're all CPAs, sometimes none are CPAs. Sometimes people are EAs, and so they'll file taxes instead of CBA. So all the terms can just get really complicated. But in general, those are kind of the three main buckets. And those are the perfect kind of questions for more of a CPA tax professional.
Anything that you can speak on as far as like moving to different states, or is that still like go more towards a CPA
Yeah,
tax
and
attorney?
sometimes even how like your LLC and how that was set up too. So all of that can play into each other.
Do you have recommendations? Like you said, it's almost like a tiered system where the, there are bookkeepers, but then there's can be overlap bookkeepers and CPAs, and then there could be CPAs that are, is it CFOs? Is that was the
Yes,
term? Is there anywhere that like people can like search to say, well, I want somebody that has this background, or I want somebody that has this, or is that a dream that I'm having?
Yeah, that would be really cool. I am part of a few, I find in Facebook groups that sometimes people will just ask for recommendations. So at this point in time, I don't know of like a great directory or something like that, but I think just using your connections and your network to say, well, who do you use and what do they help you with? Because it can vary wildly. Even like what a bookkeeper does for you or doesn't do for you. So I would definitely get someone recommended because, especially if you're kind of to the point where you're ready to outsource it, you really want someone that you trust and that has the knowledge of usually your specific industry too, because that can be a helpful piece. Not always, but it can be helpful to know there's some similarities, but then some usually like unique quirks about different industries. And so it's helpful to have. And I would also just say that I have worked with a couple clients over this past year who have had bookkeepers steal money from them. And
Oh,
so
gosh.
I think this is just such a really good conversation because no matter if you're doing your own bookkeeping or you're outsourcing, you still got to know your numbers and kind of know like what's happening so that you would be able to catch some of that. So that is also just one thing, not to like scare people or put mistrust in anyone, because I think there's lots of great people in this industry, lots of great professionals, but it is just important to pay attention and actually like look at the reports that your bookkeeper sends you and not just get to the point where you do outsource it and you're ready to just like never look at it again either. That's not what we want.
No, and I believe that for like anything that you outsource, whether it is your billing, whether it is your website or your social media, that like you should have some knowledge, a foundation of like how does this work? Because not that your CPA is going to steal from you, not that your bookkeeper is going to steal from you, but let's say that something happens and they quit, or it doesn't work out with them anymore for whatever reason, or they have a family emergency. You need to be able to know how to get into your numbers and what they mean. Or like if your website crashes and your designer, you can't access them, how can you get in there and fix it? So I think, yes, outsourcing like is a game changer and it can help you so much, but to not let that then be the time where you're like, well, now I can bury my head in the sand and never look at this thing again, because you do need to still have that knowledge and awareness of kind of what's going on in your business with any of these pieces.
Yeah, and I think I often hear people say, oh, bookkeeping is like the first thing that you should outsource. And it's like, well, that can sometimes be true, especially if it's like not your zone of genius. But again, just like have the education to know, okay, what's going into it? What pieces and parts do you want a bookkeeper to do for you? If there's pieces that you want to keep doing yourself, and then just understanding what the whole picture of what's happening so that you can feel confident and empowered, because ultimately that's the point.
Yeah. I know you have like some free resources that our listeners can take advantage of and kind of get in your world and connect with you. Can you share a little bit about them?
Yeah, so anyone who's a QuickBooks user, I have a QuickBooks health check and it will just walk you through, okay, you might be missing some of these pieces and parts of the steps of bookkeeping, so definitely check that out. And then I would love to continue this conversation over on my show. We talk about bookkeeping and money mindset and QuickBooks and just all of these pieces a little bit more in depth. And so I would love to have y'all over there too.
And we'll have a link in the show notes to that QuickBooks kind of checkup that you have, and then also to your show as well. Erica, it's been such a pleasure getting to talk with you today. Again, like money is one of those things I think so many of us like have like a knee-jerk response to, but you've made it very like relaxed and easy. And so I hope that listeners can take away from that that like you don't need to be scared of your books. You know, there are people out there to help you, resources out there to help you. And so to not be afraid to take advantage of those. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I love these conversations, and I
Yes.
hope people, like you said, just walk away feeling more comfy and relaxed and not so intense about it.
Yes. Yes. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.